This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Ah, here we go. It's 4:06, and Mike, are you with us right there?
I hope so. I don't know. This is really strange.
I'd rather have you in here.
I know. You know what Kyle said this morning? Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show will be on at 4, but we were keeping him at a safe distance. He's 9 miles away.
I think I heard that.
Yeah, I heard it. And I'm like, Kyle, thanks a lot. I'm not that contagious.
Well,
oh, goodness.
Well, we're connected, so what do you got going today?
Oh, I don't know. being cold, and right now the sun is shining in between rainstorms and things like that.
But, nice.
One thing that's really starting to happen now are all the leaves, not all the leaves, but most of the trees, leaf trees, are starting to come out. And, you know, if like I'm driving around and I notice these kinds of things mm-hmm. very easily. And so consequently, I went around a corner 2 days ago and boom, there was this great big green leaf tree in front of me. And I thought, wow, 2 days ago, that bugger didn't have a leaf on it. Now it's fully leafed out. I mean, it's looking really good. You forget how pretty trees are when they first come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... And then I'm looking all around town, and as I was driving around town, I'm thinking, man, there's more and more trees just in the last 2 or 3 days that are leafing out, finally popping out of their shell, if you will, and starting to grow. So that's kind of hopefully that's a spring indicator.
Yes, there is life out there.
There is life out there, and it's not affected by viruses and things. That's good. Oh, man. But, life is happening in the plant world in spite of the human pandemic. How's that?
You know? There you go.
Yeah. So, and so there's hope after all that life on Earth will continue.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And with a few more warm, sunny days, you know, it seems like we haven't had too many of them. It seems like it's been a colder March and a colder spring than we've had in the past. And I pay attention to that stuff because I got to work out in it all the time. But, it's been a little cool. And what, you got a freeze warning on for tonight?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, how cold is supposed to get?
Yeah, let's see. As low as 23 degrees expected in Camas Valley, Glendale, Tiller, and Azalea.
Geez. You know, that means it'll be 25 at my house, so, oh, gosh.
Yeah. It says 33-36 for Roseburg, Sutherland, Elkton, Drain, and Tri-City.
Yeah. Well, see, the only thing is, remember how I kind of harp on the box stores and stuff having their plants out in February, and you know, they'll have tomatoes and peppers and this and that and the next thing. Well, you know, if any of those encounter... you know, 30 degrees or 28 degrees. I mean, there's damage caused because they're in, you know, really small, tiny pots, and that cold penetrates those pots. And what happens is, they're damp and they're wet when they arrive from wherever they're coming from, but I don't know how often the store personnel waters them and keeps them wet because, as I've said in the past, a wet root system can survive the cold much better than a dry root system. A dry root system, the cold penetrates the dry ground very quickly, gets to the roots, and the plant will die. Whereas if it's wet in there, if the root system is wet and the soil is wet, the cold penetrates a little bit, but it doesn't kill the root system. So, you know, if there's anybody out there that has bought some tomatoes or peppers or whatever they're having out there and they still haven't planted them, I would suggest that they take them into the garage or put them on the porch so they have some sort of shelter, so that it doesn't get down to, you know, 20 21 or 25 or something like that and cause some real damage, because that's important. You've already invested the money. You want to plant your garden, and here it is the 1st of April, and we get a hard freeze warning.
Wow.
You know, global warming is really starting to get to me, Gail.
Yes. Well.
So we're not going to take any calls today, are we?
No, there's no way we can do that yet.
Yeah, I didn't think there was. But, you know, so I just want to tell everybody I appreciate it if you're listening, and I hope that I get some good advice across to you that will help you in your landscaping or gardening work. And, you know, there's always so much to learn in this vegetative world. You know, I've been at it professionally 46 years, I believe. It's a day, a couple of days. You multiply that out by 365, and you know, wow, man, that's about 15,000 days.
Wow.
But, you know, even though you're in it for that long, you still learn something every day. I still find stuff I don't know about, you know, through one of my trade magazines, or, you know, it's just like, wow, I didn't know that. Oh, man, that's available. That's how you do that. I mean, there's so much to know.
Yeah.
And the new plant stuff that comes out all the time, you know, like I've said in the past, there's always new plants, always new and improved rhodies or new and improved azaleas and things like that. So it's like you got to really study to keep on top of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, earlier, you know, right now it's pretty stinking cold here at the nursery and the wind's blowing.
Oh.
And I walked around the nursery just looking at different kinds of plants to see, you know, what stage of growth they are in. And as I walked around, let's see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight different shrubs are in bloom. I mean, there's more, but, you know, the nine I picked out are in bloom right now and beginning to bloom, some of them, and then some of them are in full bloom. It's amazing. The ones that are full bloom, Candy Tuft is an evergreen ground cover and a cute little plant, tougher than nails. I mean, you can't kill a Candy Tuft. I've got some out at my driveway at home that maybe gets water once a month in the summer. and when we planted it, it was probably 4 inches across and 3 inches tall. Now it's 4 feet across and 4 inches tall.
Well,
and
it's grown a little.
Oh, yeah, but they're so tough. That's why I like them. But they're in full bloom right now, and they are white flower. And it's a lot of flowers, not just a flower here and there and you know, occasionally. I mean, it's like a carpet of flowers. It's solid white.
Nice.
Very, very bright white. And they've been in bloom now for a couple of weeks here at the nursery, at least. And they'll probably bloom another 2, maybe even 3 weeks, depending on the weather. But they only bloom in the winter. I mean, that's the cool part of it. They only bloom in the winter, but they're looking really good. And Lithodora is another evergreen ground cover that has kind of a violet blue flower. They're in bloom right now. So these that I'm speaking of are actually blooming in this cold, nasty weather that we've been having. And, you know, when you mix those, the Lithodora, the violet blue flower, with the Candy Tuft, with the white flower, and you make kind of a pattern out of it in maybe one of your plant beds or, you know, and even in pots, really a nice look, and it's very, you know, very contrasting colors, obviously, but it makes a nice look, and they grow, they're compatible. They both take the same kind of care. They don't need much.
my kind of plant.
Yeah, my kind of plant, too, because I know that puppy's going to grow no matter how bad I treat it, but, you know, it's just that way. So those are two good ones right now. Another one, of course, the camellias are still in bloom. They've been blooming about a month, maybe 5 weeks. And I'm looking out my window here at my big camellias in the back of the building, and they're practically in full bloom. They're just looking really, really healthy. And I've got some reds, some pinks, some whites. Let's see here. As I walk toward the back door, I got some really deep, deep reds. and right next to the deep red, I've got a white. Now, it's funny, though, the deep red camellia is just got a lot of blooms on it, and the white is kind of sparse. There's blooms on it, but it's not as striking, if you will, as the red. And then I've got this pink one out here. Well, several pink ones with different shades of pink. And one's called Umpqua Chief. Now, Umpqua Chief was developed right here in Winston Dillard Nurseries back in 1952 or somewhere in there. And it was developed by the gentleman that owned the nursery down the street for me. His name was Moyer. And he was a friend of the plant geneticist Luther Burbank. And Luther Burbank, world-famous geneticist, plant geneticist, used to come up, and they were friends, and used to come up and go fishing with him in the summer.
Is that right?
And they would both, and they'd both play, let's see what kind of different plants we can make. And so they hybridized this one called the Umpqua Chief. And it's very striking, very nice. And I've got mine's all about eight or nine feet, because I keep it down somewhat, but it's in tree form, and it's very, very beautiful. And like I say, it just developed right here in Douglas County back in 1952, 1953, right in that time frame.
Cool.
And the other one that was developed is the Moyer Red Nandina. And Mr. Moyer was the guy that owned the nursery down the road from me way back then. And he and Luther hybridized the Moyer's Red Nandina.
Ah.
And that's the Nandina, that's the one of the ones varieties I grow. And way back when I first started, I filled my whole back field with them, and I had 9,000 of them in the ground at one time.
Wow!
And we were wholesaling them all over the state at that point, plus, you know, saving them for a few for retail and a few more for landscape.
Uh-huh.
But that's the kind of historical plant stories that happened way back in Douglas County back in the 50s, you know, early 50s, late 40s. Let's see, I was probably, I don't know, 5 years old when they were doing all this stuff, or 4 years old somewhere.
I wasn't even born in 52.
Wow, well, you should have been. We could have had some fun, man.
Fun, yeah.
But, you know, I find that, you know, and the azaleas, of course, are coming out, and some of the rhodies also have some blooms on them. Now, there's a lot of dwarf rhodies that are blooming all over the county. They're a smaller leafed rhododendron, but they bloom in January, February, March, and they get up about 2-3 feet tall, maybe 2 or 3 feet wide, and they're tougher than nails. They take the full sun. They take, you know, poor ground, and they just come back like gangbusters every year.
Boy, they take it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The only way you can kill them is to overwater them. Now, how many times have I said that in the last?
Yeah. At least once or twice.
Once or twice, I think. I never kept track. But the regular rhododendrons, the bigger leafed rhododendrons, some of them are just starting to open up and show color. And they'll do that from now till maybe about the 1st of June, depending on the variety, depending on the location where you might plant them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the shadier and the cooler it is, the longer it takes to bloom. But once they start blooming, they bloom for a longer time than if they were in full sun. So, you know, that's something for folks that want to have a rhododendron in full sun. Yeah, it'll work, but it will be a shorter bloom time.
Yep.
And whereas if they got some afternoon shade the bloom, and it was cooler, the blooms last longer. So,
I see.
Yeah.
Well, can we take a break?
Yeah, you got to, because I'm motor mouthing it here, man.
All right, we'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show in a moment on News Radio 1240 KQEN. We'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, on a strange day, we are back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
So we're off the break now?
We are.
It's kind of strange sitting here in my nursery talking on the phone while I'm on the radio at the same time.
Can you hear the commercials on the break?
Oh, yeah, I heard the commercials.
Good.
And But anyway, I was talking about shrubs that were in bloom at this point in time, and one is our state flower, Oregon grape.
Yeah,
bright yellow flower, blooming all over the place. So, and those are a plant that is so tough, you could plant it in concrete, and it would probably grow really well.
Oh, geez.
I mean, they grow in clear cuts. They grow in full sun. They grow in bad soil. They even grow in good soil, and they're a good tough plant. We were doing a job here in Winston, a cleanup job for a lady, and she had several fairly large Oregon grapes that we pruned. Oh gosh, they were good five feet tall, maybe a little bit taller, and at least that wide.
Wow.
And now they're 2.5 foot. 2.5 foot tall and about 2 feet wide, so they're more as big as they were. They were reaching the bed they were in was too small, but they planted them years ago, when they were small. So they're reaching out into the driveway, and hanging out into the driveway. So we whack all that stuff back, but we left blooms.
Yeah,
and when you do that, of course, the plant just gets fuller. It puts on more bottom growth and fills out so that there's no spaces. When you let them get them tall, when you let them grow tall and rangy, then the growth is going to the top, and that's where the lush growth is. And then the poor leaves down at the bottom, they kind of fall off and fade away after a while because they don't get as much sun. I mean, there's all the good juices are going to the top of the plant rather than what's existing. So
they don't get no leaven.
Yeah, that's why it's good to prune. I mean, and I've talked about that 10,000 times, is when a pruned plant is healthier, it's fuller, it's more attractive, and it stays in bounds wherever you planted it, in case you were planting it 2 feet from the foundation of your home and didn't know that it was going to get that big. It's a good idea to keep it small,
right,
and that way it'll be pretty. Otherwise, it grows out of whack. It grows misshapen, and after a while, it just kind of gives it up and falls over or dies or something like that. So
don't want that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and I could drive you around in an hour from the radio station, just up in some of those neighborhoods, like up above the radio station there.
Yeah.
And those are older homes that the landscaping has been, installed 30 or 40 years. Mm. And I can just point all of this stuff out, and you'd see what I was talking about. You probably know some of it anyway, but we could go by a neighborhood and I say, well, see all those plants there and that are hanging out over the driveway or, blocking the window.
The garage.
They don't look in the garage. They don't look real good. And it's because nobody's ever pruned them because, again, people are afraid to prune. And I don't know why they're afraid to prune. We prune all the time, constantly.
Yeah.
And that just keeps them nicer, fuller, and healthier. And that's what you want when you're investing dollars in the plants that you're buying. Okay, so the Oregon grape, like I say, which is our state flower, then I talked about this a week or two ago, the hellebores, they're still in bloom. They're kind of like a prehistoric little plant with really weird-looking flowers. But they're weird, but they're beautiful weird, okay? I don't mean they're ugly, but they're beautiful weird. And mine at home are purple, and I've got some here at the nursery that are blooming white and some that are kind of pink and some of the purple, but they're not real big or small, but they're blooming. And that's wintertime kind of early color thing. Dianthus is another one that's in full bloom, and so are the viburnums. The viburnums, the spring bouquet viburnum, loves the cold weather, so it blooms in cold weather.
Oh, it'll love tonight.
Yeah, all right. It'll love tonight. It'll probably be dancing in the streets, Wow, it's cold. Let's go, baby.
That's right.
And another one is, I had it in my mind. Oh, Lily of the Valley, Pieris, it's called. The scientific name is Pieris, P-I-E-R-I-S, Pieris, you know, somewhere. I think I got it spelled right. But it has long, long garlands of white flowers. It's an evergreen. And it loves the. It starts blooming in about November or December and blooms till it gets warm.
Nice.
You know, a lot of these plants, you know, people think, well, gosh, they have to be warm and sunny and spring-like or summer before it'll bloom. Not so. You can have year-round color. If you plant it properly, you can have color year-round in your yard. You can have something blooming in your yard, regardless if it snows or rains incessantly or, you know, it's just a miserable hot in July. It can still bloom, and it can still look good. So,
wow.
But those were the ones that were blooming as I walked around this afternoon. And I have a few trees out there. Of course, the Japanese maples aren't a blooming plant, but they're all leafing out really well. And I've got several hundred Japanese maples, and the new leaves are coming. Some of them are already leafed out almost all the way, and some of them are just barely budded. And then a lot of them are, you know, the new leaves are coming out and they're unfolding, and they're very attractive this time of year. Very attractive. And again, that's another really tough plant that most, I'll say, novice gardeners or novice landscapers that are just doing it for the first time, or, you know, just bought their first house and they want to add some plants, they think they've read about a Japanese maple or seen one, and they think they're some kind of a tender, I was going to say exotic. They are exotic in nature, but they think they're tender and they need a lot of care. Well, just the opposite is true.
Oh, nice.
Leave them alone. They do fine. I mean, you know, just give them some good ground to grow in and water them once in a while in the summer and stand back because they're on their own. They're going to do a great job. And as I've said in the past, I've got maybe 20 of them planted out around in my house, and I'm out in the boondocks, and I got them planted up where the Doug fir are, and I've got them planted, and they're so far away, I forget to water them. And unless it's like I'm walking by and they look a little droopy, I go, wow, gee whiz, when did I water? Oh, I watered that one 2 months ago. I better give it a shot.
Well, better do that one.
Yeah, I better do that one. And so I'll grab a 5-gallon bucket, dip it in the creek, and the creek's 300 feet away, and it's uphill, and
nice.
Not the creek, but the tree, and walk uphill and give it a good shot, and then say, I better get another bucket. So by the time they get 10 gallons of water, they're good for the year. You don't have to mess with them ever again. They're good till it rains.
That sounds excellent to me.
And some of the flowering trees, there's flowering cherries that are in bloom, and there's flowering crabapple that are in bloom.
Huh.
Both of them are very attractive. I was out there looking around, and I got some flowering crabs that are just kind of reddish pink and white blooms, and they're just full of flowers. A beautiful tree. If you want a flowering tree, come on in and buy a flowering crab. You'll love it. And those are a tough tree. As are the flowering cherries. So, there's a lot of stuff that we can have in our yard that is colorful, like I say, trees and shrubs and ground covers, before the spring stuff, you know, really comes on. And the spring stuff will happen sometime in April. And, you know, of course, in May and June, you know, April, May, and June are the months that most of the small flowers and geraniums, you know, petunias, marigolds, those kinds of things are on the market, and people want, you know, instant color, so that's when we're overwhelmed with people that want, oh, I want 10 of those and 10 of those and 10 of those, and you hope you have enough to
enough
last.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah. and another cool thing, we got a couple greenhouses out here with plants that my daughter Jill grows. And I was walking in there after I was walking around looking at these other things. The greenhouse is like a month ahead at least several weeks ahead in that the geraniums are in full bloom and the hanging baskets are really looking good and the fuchsias are got flowers all over them. And I'm thinking, wow, man, just and this is a non-heated greenhouse. We do have a heating system in there, but we very seldom use it. Keep the doors closed, and that sun penetrates the greenhouse during the day, and it'll be 75 degrees in there on days like this.
Wow. So you don't think you'll have to turn the heat on tonight? Huh?
Yeah. We just close the doors, and we have fans in there that kind of keep it keep the air moving.
Yeah.
Because with the air moving gently, that prevents any frost from settling in. And I've never had any frost in my greenhouse in 30 or whatever years that they've been built. So, but it's a treat just to come out here on a day like today or when it's rainy and just walk through the greenhouse and say, yeah, spring does exist. we're still going to have spring because here it is in the greenhouse.
Yeah. Got proof.
Yeah. And then when we grow stuff, we take them out of the flats when they're rooted, and then we pot them up into pots, and we just don't throw them outside. We leave them in our second greenhouse so that they're not damaged and let them grow for maybe 2 months. And so like the mid-April, the 1st of May, we start bringing out the new stuff that's in gallon cans, and those are real, you know, shrubs and small trees and things like that. So it's a process, but if anybody's interested in seeing how it works, they ought to come out and, you know, just wander around, take a look, get an education, ask questions. My wife can answer, my daughter can answer. I mean, whoever's wandering around here working, we can answer your questions.
Your dog could probably answer.
Who?
Your dog.
Well, he doesn't speak English. That's the problem.
Oh, that's okay. That's a problem.
He speaks carnivore. When you say steak, he
knows. And with that, can we take another break?
You bet. You bet. I'm running out of breath.
Okay. All right. Mike catches his breath, and we'll go on break. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We're back. 4:39 and a little sprinkle outside.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still got a little bit of sun here in Dillard.
Good old Dillard?
Dillard, down the street, Dillard, yep.
We're not making fun of Dillard. We're just having
I love Dillard.
Yeah.
My buddy who owns the Dillard store down there, he's the unofficial mayor of Dillard.
Is that right? That store
I just elected him.
There you go. That store has been around ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's busier than any place you want to be, from early morning till late night.
Wow.
I mean, every trucker, logging truck, freight truck, mill worker, hunter, tourist, everybody, they stop in at the Dillard store. They're easily, 15 cars in the parking lot at any one time during the day.
We'll send him a bill for free advertising.
Oh, I know. I'll get him. Don't worry. He's a good friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Come visit the Dillard store and then stop at Wintergreen. But anyway, I've been talking about blooming things, and I was talking about the greenhouse and all the stuff that's in all the plant materials that are in the greenhouse right now looking good. And on my list here, and I forgot to mention it, was our lemon trees that are growing in there. And they're small, but even the small ones have lemons on them, real lemons that you can eat, that you can squeeze on your baked Alaska fish or your iced tea or whatever. And they grow here. We keep them indoors in the winter, and we put them outside during the summer.
I didn't know they would grow around here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, if we ever do the show again at the radio station, I'll bring one in so you can look at it.
All right. It's a deal.
Yeah, or I'll bring you a lemon. But
I get enough of those.
Yeah. Well, it's a dwarf Meyer lemon, and it's supposed to grow, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet at maturity. But a client of mine bought one from me years ago, and he actually planted it outside, right down the road here, about a mile and a half. And then he built a portable greenhouse all the way around it. There's the 2x4s and the studs are all the way around, and then he designed the windows to be plexiglass sheets of plexiglass that you can just fit right in and close it totally up for the winter. And then he has a light bulb in there, one light bulb, or I guess it's a light bulb, but one light in there that he keeps on during the winter when it's really cold.
Yeah.
And so consequently, it doesn't freeze. Now, this thing was, when he bought it from me, it might have been 2 feet tall. I don't know, maybe 2.5 feet tall. Well, it's about 9 feet, 8 feet tall for sure.
Wow.
And probably from the outside tip to the outside tip, probably 7 feet across, 6 or 7 feet across. And he has so many lemons on it, it would fill the back end of the bed of a pickup.
That's how
many lemons this guy grows on this one lemon tree.
Jeez.
And if anybody's ever interested, I could take them to it and show them. But what keeps it alive is the fact that he built this portable greenhouse around it. And when it gets warm, he takes the plexiglass windows off so the air circulates through there. And, it's just kind of wide open in the summer till the temperature gets down close to 32. And if a cold snap is predicted, he'll put the windows back in and it just continues to grow. It's the most beautiful thing you ever saw.
Yeah, that's pretty clever.
It is. It is. When he told me he had to plant it outside, I said, "You're kidding me." And it's alive? He said, "Yeah, come here and see it," because we were doing some work for him down there. So he led us over to the other side of his barn driveway area, and it was amazing. I was very impressed. I said, "That's planted in the ground. Now, you got any heat there?" He said, No heat. No heat at all. But with that greenhouse, it keeps it from freezing. That's the bottom line. It keeps it from freezing.
That's the key.
Yes, the key right there. And they're good. Oh gosh, they'll survive 35. They'll survive 35, 36. Mm. But when you get down to that 32, 30 degree range, that's when it starts to do damage. And a lot of times the leaves will be the first things to kind of crisp up and die off. But if it gets colder than that, then the roots die. And so, they're an indoor plant. They have very fragrant white flowers when it's blooming. Very fragrant. So if you've got it on your deck or patio or something like that, you've got that fragrance wafting, how you like that word, wafting through your kitchen or your living room or something like that. And it's an evergreen. It does not lose its leaves and stays evergreen all the time. And it's just a nice little patio tree. So you could put something like that on wheels and wheel it out in the spring and wheel it into the kitchen or the living room in the winter.
And you're you know, ready to roll.
Ready to roll, rock and roll. They do, but you can't put it in a dark corner. If you keep it in the house all winter, you can't put it over in a dark corner or in a closet. It has to stay by a window where, you know, sufficient light can get in on it.
And it gets depressed in the dark.
I know, yeah, it's depressed. You know, rain day after day after day. Then we get fog for day after day after day. You got to feel sorry for a tree like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. I've seen that happen before. I lose mine all the time. I just open my mouth and words come out, you know?
Yeah.
That's it. I was reading an article about the therapeutic value of the garden in trying times. Mm. How working in the garden in times of trouble or the stuff that we have going on right now with the coronavirus, and in earthquakes or whatever
right.
calamity kind of slams you.
Yeah.
But the working in your garden, working with living things, with shrubs, with vegetable plants or trees or something like that, is actually very therapeutic. And it gets our mind away from the trouble mm-hmm. we're facing, because you're dealing with living things
right.
that improve in time and get better, and you know, some of them produce fruit, some of them produce vegetables, some of them just produce shade. But what you do, like in your yard, is you create a space that is personal to you. You know, some people copy other people's landscapes, but they never get it exactly. Right or
mm-hmm.
exactly the same.
Yeah.
So every yard is an individual landscape, and that's what brings out the personality in the people who live there and who work in it on a daily basis. And it's relaxing work, because the plant doesn't demand a whole bunch of stuff. The plant isn't yapping at you.
Yeah.
The plant isn't calling you a jerk for giving it too much water.
Are you yelling at you?
Yeah, and when you do that, you're digging in the dirt, man. You're pulling the weeds, you're digging in the dirt, you're pruning the branches, whatever, and you create a garden. That's what you're doing. You're it's a creative deal.
Yeah.
And I think that if more people were to invest their time into their yards, into their landscaping, into their creativity, into their vegetable gardens, whatever,
mm-hmm.
I think that would take a lot of the edge off that we all feel in our daily lives when we're hammered on all sides with the good news of the media. No slam on you, no.
Well, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. It's just good, and it takes away. You cannot be, let's put it this way, you're working in your garden, you're planting something, you can't be thinking bad thoughts and wanting to strangle somebody while you're planting grapes or while you're planting strawberries or, you know, looking forward to the potato crop when it comes. I mean, the two thoughts can't occupy the same space
yeah.
at the same time, you know? You're either thinking good thoughts or you're thinking bad thoughts, and not too many people who are planting things are thinking bad thoughts.
No, it's a whole new world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And even though your dad used to, you know, do things, you've shared stories about how your dad landscaped or mowed or fertilized or
if you want to
like
call
that.
It that, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, but it was therapeutic for him at his level. See, and we don't all have to be super experts. You know, somebody's got to start somewhere, and
yeah.
you start simply, and then when you have success at the simple level, then you graduate to more complicated or intense kind of plantings, and as you become more interested in that, your eyes open up to, wow, I never saw one of those before. I wonder what that is. You know, the curiosity factor becomes, becomes the
focus.
What I want to say. Pardon?
The Focus?
Yeah, the Focus. Yeah, good. I lost the words. But, yeah, it becomes the Focus. And you go, wow, I've no, you know, because I'm seeing new stuff all the time. Because
yeah.
I get all these magazines, you know, in the plant world and blah, blah, blah. Or I go someplace and to another nursery up north that, you know, is a huge thing and grows 10 billion things. And I'll walk around and go, wow, look at this stuff. This is beautiful, you know. And just amazed. Why can't I have this? Well, I only got 8 acres. They got 800.
Well, oh, you know, that's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, a bit of a difference. So they've got the room to grow, man. And and their great-great-grandfather started it in 1873, you know.
Well, that's right. Yeah, they know all about it. Hey, yeah, we got to take another break here, guy.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. We'll be right back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show Wednesday on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello. We are back, obviously, at 4:53. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN. You want to take us home, Mike?
Oh, I'd like to go home right now because I find this really strange talking on the phone for an hour to a radio show.
It is a little different.
Yeah, it's different. Definitely different. But anyway.
Maybe next week we can be together again.
Yes, together again. Yes.
That didn't sound right.
No, it didn't, but that's okay. I know what you're talking about.
Good.
But, you know, in this article about the therapeutic value of gardening, it says here that the mark of a true gardener is a person who does not see a finished landscape, but a series of tasks that need to be tackled. What's cool about that is when people get into this kind of thing and they actually have a home where they've been designing their flower beds and you know, they're really gardener types of people, it's amazing what they can create when they put their mind to it and get really serious about it. And but there's always something to do. I mean, you just can't let it go for 6 months and say, oh yeah, I think I'll go out in the yard and get something done. You know, during the growing season, you've got to be out there, oh gosh, a couple times a week in the evening or something, just kind of pruning this and watering that, or fertilizing something else, or planting a new type of plant. But it's not as time consuming in big chunks. It's, you know, you can put in a 6 hour day in your backyard if you wanted, but if you keep on top of things,
right,
you know, an hour here and a half an hour there and 15 minutes here, you know, that's all it takes, really. If you stay on top of it and you keep the weeds in place, you keep the flowers blooming, you keep the trees, you know, pruned and growing in the right direction, and you don't get tired of it. It's the creativity.
Yeah.
It's therapeutic.
Working
in the dirt. Yeah, it's therapeutic, exactly. It's the satisfaction of a job well done because you did it. Because
right.
You created it. It came out of your mind. You know, us human beings are very creative in a lot of ways, most of which is good creations, but there are individuals out there that are bad creators.
And we can
know who they are.
They will remain nameless at this point.
Yeah, we will not name them. You can read about them in the paper sometime.
Yes.
But you don't have to wear yourself out and, like I say, do a 5-hour day or a 6-hour day. Maybe once in a while that's what it takes when you're maybe putting a new sprinkler in, or you got half a dozen trees you want to plant, or something like that. But if you take it in little bits at a time, and that's why I said in the past, if you've never done this before and you've got this big brand new yard that's nothing in it but just dirt, and you want to start landscaping, you pick a corner somewhere, or you pick just one little spot somewhere, and that's what you concentrate on. That's what you look at and design, and put a few plants in, put a little mulch in, maybe a couple of boulders, maybe a little water feature that that's already like fiberglass that you can buy at the co-op or something like that, and create a small garden. It can be 10 feet wide and 7 feet deep, and it's in the corner of your yard, or it's in the corner of maybe next to your home, and you just create this small thing. And it's easy to do because it's not an overwhelming task, and you don't lose interest in it. So you've got this little water feature and a mound of topsoil and a few boulders and maybe a couple of rhododendrons, maybe a Japanese maple, maybe some candy tuft and some lithodora, and you call it good, and it looks good, and you look at it, and you watch how it grows, and you haven't invested thousands of dollars into it at this point in time.
Right.
You've invested hundreds, but not thousands, and it's your own labor, and you're really proud of it, and you sit there and enjoy it. And then what happens is the creative juices begin to gain speed.
Yep.
And as you drive around, you start to notice other landscapes. And you start to notice, like, wow, what kind of tree is that? And I wonder what kind of a shrub that is that's blooming with all those beautiful yellow flowers or all those pink flowers. And oftentimes, if there's somebody working in the yard, you can pull your car over or walk by and say, "Hey, how are you? My name is Mike, and I got this new house down there, and I'm looking for shrubs. What kind of shrub is that?" And normally, the person that's there is very happy to talk to you about their blooming shrub.
And on that note, we'll have to call it a screeching halt for the day.
Oh, no, I'm just getting started.
So, well, whereabouts you located there, Mike?
I'm sitting right in the middle of my nursery right now. We're about a quarter mile south of Winston on Highway 99. We're the second nursery down the road from the bridge, and all our roofs are green.
There you go.
All of our trees are beautiful.
All right, it's 5 o'clock.